Been a good experience again to gather in God's house and to worship Him, and I trust you've experienced it in your heart as well as you've sat through up to this point. I looked at when our revivals were scheduled actually, and I thought maybe this would be a time when I don't have to preach the message that's right before revival meetings. But I found out that as revivals got changed, I was on the schedule, and I get hit with it again, and that's fine. But my mind was drawn to a verse that I was called on to preach at a conference with the Hope Churches, and mostly ministry there. And that was found in 2 Timothy 4, and you can turn your Bibles to that, because that's where I'm going to preach this morning. As I studied in this passage here, I got thinking about it. I'm like, this message is not just for preachers, it's not just for those that are ordained, but it's for everyone. And so we're going to look at it this morning, because it is a message that no matter where you find yourself in life, you probably have some leadership. You probably have somebody that's following you. You probably have someone that you're making influence in their lives. And so I think it can affect everyone. I know Paul is writing to Timothy, a young, I like to say young, ordained man. And I'd like to take the time to read some of these verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I'm going to stop reading there. The title that was given to me is found in verse 5, But watch thou in all things. And so I'm going to title this morning the same thing, But Watch Thou in All Things. The watch there has this meaning or idea of in self-control of all things. Be in control of it. Keep your head in all situations. Be alert. Be sober. Know what you're doing. Watch thou in all things. And so as we read these verses here, Paul is giving a solemn charge to Timothy. It starts out, I charge thee. Now that we say that's for Timothy, but it also comes to people today. And he's talking to us. But as he gave this charge specifically to Timothy, we see that word therefore. And why did Paul put it therefore? Remember that? When you see the word therefore, you should go look what it's there for. And so why was he giving this charge? Well, we could go back to chapter 3, the first part of it, and we know it starts out, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I remember preachers saying that we're in the last days. I'm getting closer to 40, and I still feel that way. I don't think those preachers were wrong when they said that we're living in the last days. We all agree, right? We look about us, we see the last days. What was Paul seeing, though, that as he saw this young preacher coming on, that he saw, he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times are going to be coming, and this is what's going to happen. Well, I think he was dealing with some of that in his time as well. Because it's human nature, what's listed there in the next verses. We'll read them later. And so maybe it's that is why he's charging Timothy this therefore to be a minister. Therefore, because we're in the last days. Or maybe it's because as he comes to verse 14, he talks about Scripture and how important it is. Learning from Scripture is all, verse 16, all Scripture. Well, verse 15, and thou hast from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Maybe that's what it's there for, because he knows the battle between good and evil. And what we are going to be talking about watching in all things, maybe that battle there is taking place in the Scriptures and reading Scriptures, how we can so soon forget the importance of eating. Maybe I'm sharing my own struggle sometimes. Yes, it's make it practical and every day and read the Scripture. Because of the importance and power of Scripture, maybe that's why he gives this charge to Timothy. But it's there for a reason, and he charges him. And he charges him, as you see in verse 2, the charge, preach the word, whether it's convenient or not. Whether you feel like doing it or not. Now, I know that I was talking when I first preached this to a group of brethren that have the charge. And I've changed a number of these things through it, so don't feel like I'm just taking notes from them. But I want to ask you this. Is the preaching only for the ordained? I don't think so. We're called to stand up here in a service like this and to be the preachers. Understand that. But it's beyond that. What about the everyday? In season, out of season, when you don't feel like it. When you don't feel like taking the time in a day when someone asks you questions. Preach the word. There are three areas of concern that he was to cover in his preaching. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Correcting, rebuking, and encouraging. And it should cover all three of that. As you meet people, you need to be able to help them. And sometimes that's rebuking them, reproving them. Sometimes it's correcting. Sometimes it's encouraging. Well, he also, after this charge, gives a warning. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want to hear it. I'm here to say, as we look about out in the world about us, you can find people that are interested in knowing what Scripture says. But there's also, the Word of God is so readily available to us. And to them, they don't want to hear it sometimes. Do you ever run into people like that? They want to live life the way they want it. And so it talks about itching ears. They don't want the truth. They want to overlook the truth because they don't like its message. It steps on their toes too much. Well, our title, the verse we were looking at is verse 5, and it follows right after this. And he tells Timothy, but watch thou in all things. We talked about the word watch, the self-control, the be on alert. I'd like to give you an example to get your mind stirring as we think about being watchful. I enjoyed playing when my children were little. I still have a young one. I enjoyed playing hide and seek with them sometimes. Now, you don't usually have to go find the hardest place to hide. You can almost hide in broad daylight as long as they can't see you. But they come through, you know, and they don't know you're there, and you can scare them maybe a little bit. Why? Because they're not that watchful. They're really small. You can scare them really easy. And hide really easy from them. They're not that observant, watchful. But you do that a couple times in the same location, they start looking for you there. because they start realizing that you might be there, and they watch, look there. They're watchful to see once whether you're there or not. They often want, children often like more and more of that. So keep that in your mind as a young child, maybe not as watchful as. Now I'd like to take your children's age and go fast forward a little. Do we have anybody here that's scared of the dark? And it don't have to even be just children. Yeah, it's all right. You don't have to admit to that. I know some people, and I've been there already. When I was out in Ohio one time, we had a story CD that we were listening to. And there's a lot of drama in it. And I just remember we had to get out of our equipment one day after when I was in the middle of listening to it. And it was about a dog. And I remember that as I got out in the dark, my hair stood up on the back of my neck. I was pretty scared about, and then I had to remember, it's just a story. But I was watchful. So you fast forward a little age, someone's scared of the dark. You can't see what's around them. That's why they don't like it. There's darkness there. Fear can set in, and now if they go out, I don't know what's there. And it might come out and get me. And so they're really on edge then. They're watchful then. Or at least I usually was. You know, what's there? And wouldn't have taken much of somebody to jump at you, and you probably would have really jumped yourself. So you're on alert. That's watchfulness. Now, just for illustration purposes, to take it to another level. Let's say the Syracuse Zoo. Let's use Syracuse Zoo. The local zoo has a lion that's in a cage there. The papers, the news have it that that lion has escaped the cage. Rumor has it, and story has it, that it's been seen close to Romulus. In fact, it might be hiding in the depot. In fact, it might be in your own woods. Furthermore, this lion has a reputation that it likes to prey on men. That's why it was put in the cage in the first place. Because it likes to eat people. Let's take our farm, or the where we live, for example. Out back of our place, there's a woods. I was out in that woods and I lost something. Maybe it's my wallet. Maybe it's my cell phone. Something I kind of would like to not have out there. But I didn't remember until it's dark. I don't really want to leave it out there because there's a chance of rain overnight. Anybody willing to go out and get it for me? Without any weapons? Without any big flashlights? It's a very dark night. Now, some of your older ones will probably know why I use that example. Now, because I'd like to read to you a verse. 1 Peter 5:8, you don't have to turn to it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you made me go out there to try to find my wallet, my cell phone, anything of little importance as that is, when my life's at stake, and so we have the devil. We have the need to be watchful in life because there's an enemy out there. And he wants to devour us. There's another side to this enemy that we are talking about, and that is the devil. There's another side to it, and that is found in 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So there we have the other side of it. John 10 describes this account of the Good Shepherd, and as the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and Satan is described there as a thief. In our devotions this morning, our brother from Psalms 31, verse 4, I noticed he said about the net. The devil likes to be a fisherman. He's patient about it. He don't care when he gets you. Or I guess the net could be a bird catcher as well. Whatever it is, but he's patient. And so we have this enemy that we are to be watchful for. And Paul's telling Timothy, you need to be on alert. Think soberly about this. Well, the word thou, Paul is writing to a young ordained leader. And we said this call does not only apply just to leaders, but he's saying especially to Timothy, you need to, as a leader, need to sit up and take notice of what's going on. You need to be watchful. And that's not a haphazard watchfulness. It's just as the same as if that lion was out there and I was to go out there. I'd want a flashlight. I'd want some kind of firearm. I'd want to be able to see what's about me. Now, he's not talking to leader and says, Timothy, you need to be a police officer. You need to be going around in your churches and you need to be using your authority and writing a ticket whenever there's somebody sidestepping it. That's not what he's talking about. He was talking here to Timothy as being watchful. Leadership brings responsibility. And so Hebrews 13, 17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls that they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. And so we have a lot of leaders here. I'm not talking about Delbert and I. We have a lot of leaders here. And so this call, watch thou, is talking to you today. And in case you as youth are sitting there saying, well, it don't apply to me, listen. Thou is a personal call for each and every one that leads. It's fathers, mothers, older siblings, older youth, school teachers, as well as church leaders. You have an influence. Watch the influence you're putting on others. You watch. Thou watch. Well, let's go on to the next part of this title. Is there anything that can be overlooked in all things? It's a simple statement. Is there any time I can sit back and say it doesn't matter? I don't need to be on alert. No, there isn't. All things. Everything that happens. And so I'd like to, for the message this morning, look at three watches we'd like to look at as we think of this title. Watch thou in all things. That is the inward watch, the outward watch, and the upward watch. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so we're going to try to tie these three that are found right here in this verse, following this statement, into these points. Inward watch. Endure afflictions. Do you like that? Do you like the thought that I have to suffer? The Greek word for this word, afflictions, is to undergo hardship or to suffer trouble. Oh, we like the easy life. We like to, once when life is going easy, then we don't have to do this watching, right? No, you're wrong. Endure afflictions. That's when we need to look inwardly at ourselves and remember all through life we need to be looking inwardly. And am I living life that is free from sin? Am I living life that I can claim the assurance? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 says this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Maintain lives that are free from sin. We must always remember that we are but a sinner saved by grace. Without Christ, our lives are nothing. This will show up in the way we look at others around us. Verse 4 of chapter 2 also carries this thought. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. As we do the inward watch, we must watch that we maintain lives that are applying the grace of God to our lives, but also watch how much we become entangled with the affairs of this life. We can become so busy in the things, the pursuits of this life, that we stifles our burden for the lost about us. Or maybe it comes back to what's shared in chapter 3. We no longer have time to feed ourselves from the Word of God. We become so caught up in the things of this world. Verse 6 of chapter 2, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Remember that. For you to have a witness for those about you, for you to live a life that is victorious, you need to partake of the fruit that is found in God's Word. As we think of the inward watch, endure affliction, it means it goes against what we really human nature is. And so I thought of Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are all fruit that people can or should see coming out of our lives. And these fruits are not a normal thing that you have to prune it. You have to work at getting it to grow right in your life. But these are fruits that people can or should be able to see coming out of our lives. We often think of this as we think of this fruit. We often think of fruit as something that stands out. It stands right out. I mean, you can see it so plain, so simple. It's so easy to see that there's fruit there. And so, to make it practical, sometimes we can do that with our brothers and sisters. There's no fruit coming from their life. And so we almost, in our minds, we wouldn't say it, you know, but there's something wrong there. You know, things like fruit are as often grown on bushes or trees, but what else is on the trees and bushes? Leaves. A good producing tree will have leaves. Leaves can cover the fruit that is on the tree. Sometimes you have to peel the leaves back and there's the fruit. You have to push the leaves back to see the fruit. And so, God help us that we don't do it. But sometimes there can be so much in our minds that we think, well, there's something wrong. They aren't showing the love. They aren't showing the joy that they should. Let's push back the leaves. Can we see the best in a brother? Can we watch for that? Maybe this can be come out in discouragement in our own lives. Maybe sometimes in our own lives we need to push back and say, my heart is right. There's fruit. It's not like I'd like to see the fruit coming out. I'm working on it. We're going to keep growing it. Reminded of the verses in Matthew 7, verse 3 and 3 to 5 about the mote and the beam. So many times as we look at an inward look at ourselves and we watch ourselves, we can get this mote and beam idea that our brother has the biggest big beam in his eye and I'd like to remove it. When actually it's turned around. It's just a small sliver, but we have the big beam. And so God help us as we watch an inward watch in ourselves to be those that are helping to build, helping to watch where we're going. Because some of these things can subtly come in. So as I think about this first one, what am I going to do if what I see as I'm watching inwardly in my life is not what it should be? Am I willing to make the necessary changes to achieve? If we don't reach that point, it's not going to be a change. Is there some dark woods in my life that I need to avoid and to take care of? Because there's an adversary of the devil that's lurking there. Now let's go to the next one, the outward watch. And I, from chapter 4, verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. To bring, to declare, to show glad tidings, good tidings. Brother Owen, Lord willing, will be coming this week, and he'll be our evangelist. We desire him to declare, to show us the glad good tidings about the Scriptures. Now, he may bring some good tidings from his local church. Maybe he'll bring some experience in his life. While they're right and good, I hope Brother Owen doesn't ever come without explaining and expounding the good tidings to us. Do the work of evangelists. That means every one of us can do it. Bring forth the truth contained in Scripture to those about us. What we need for life is found in here. We've probably heard this statement many times, and I'm going to say it again. We are sometimes the only Bible the people read. Is it possible for us to smear the text so that those that are trying to read our lives can't read it? Is it possible? I believe it is. Can we somehow make the text clear what comes forth from our lives, what people see in our lives? They see Jesus. We have a motto at home, live in such a way that those do not know God will come to know God because they know you. I didn't write it down. I'm sorry for that, but it's to the point that if you live in such a way that when they look at your lives, they see God and it draws them to Him. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I said we're going to read these lists that's given there. As the perilous times shall come, and this is a list that's there for perilous times. But I wonder sometimes as we watch the outward or what's outside pushing in on us and what's inside us pushing out, whether these things don't come pretty close home sometimes. And where we really need to watch is the human nature, the carnal nature within myself. And so we're going to read this list here. And I want you to just think about it. It's things that I believe we should watch today as we think of the last times that we are living in. And we're called to be evangelists, sharing the good news with those about us. But this is a list of things that can smear the text, can we say? Can make so people don't see what is actually to be shown from our lives. Verse 2 of chapter 3. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We have a list of sins that we should keep on reading. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, ever led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Does any of those, can you see any of those that we need to watch in my own life? You see, I'd like to just say that they're all out there. I don't have to deal with them. I don't need to watch for them in my own life. But verse 5 is very sobering. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Am I victorious in my life? Is there something that's happening in my life as I think about having a form of godliness? I can have the plain suit on. I can do everything else that's in the decrees for to keep. I can do everything else just right. But I can still have something else that I'm hiding. And I'm not watching close enough for it, and it can sneak into my life. Well, as we think about those about us, as we're being an evangelist to those about us, the outward watch of those for others that we can help. Jude says this in verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so, my goal as I ponder this part of the outward watch for myself and pass it on to you. Yes, we need to make sure we're in the right. That we are crucifying self. That we have these lists that's given here in chapter 3. Taken care of in my own life. So we're sending a clear signal to those about. And so we have our lives that are being a clear witness to them. But I'd also like to say, as I think of Jude, verse 22 and 23, our lives aren't enough. We need to be willing to get in there with our hands, get in there and help them to realize that there's an end coming. Destruction, judgment, or eternal bliss. Either one of them is for eternity. Question I ask myself, how are we working this out? Is there any areas that I've been called to be a servant of Christ that I need to make changes in? In my own personal life, is there any to be more follower of Christ? Is there any area I need to make changes in? The other question I ask myself is, the testimony that is going out from my life, is it confusing people? God help us to be sending a clear signal. The last one I have is the upward watch. Make full proof of thy ministry. When we say up, most times we say heaven, and we say heaven up in the sky. Up. Make full proof of thy ministry. Use every opportunity, every minute of every living, or every day that you have, or that you're living. Use it as it was your last, and yet you're ready to go. I find that. As Paul calls Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Make sure that you use every opportunity to expound. And Paul did that. And so, I didn't know that we didn't read my Sunday school lesson enough to know about assurance that we're going to talk about. But this thought kind of ties into that, is of assurance. Paul had that assurance as he wrote to Timothy. Why? Why could he say that? Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered in the time of my departure. I've fought a good fight. Paul always did everything right, right? To the best of his knowledge, I believe. Paul, as you think about him, as he was persecuting Christians, he did everything. He dumped himself 100% into it. And then God called him and he turned him around on that Damascus road. And he turned him around. And he's serving God. And as you read scripture, you'll find Paul is doing the same thing. He puts himself wholly into it. the upward watch. Three verses I have as I think about that. Matthew 25, verse 13, watch ye therefore. So we have watch. He's saying, watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And this is following the count of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. And the five foolish were not prepared. And when the bridegroom came, they missed the entrance to the wedding. You know that account. Bible readers do. And it says that there, watch therefore, for you don't know when it's going to be. And so that's as we think about the upward watch, it calls us to be ready at any time. Because we know neither the day nor the hour when it's going to happen. Be ready at any time. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 6. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us therefore not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Why do we need to do the upward watch? Because our tendency maybe is to sleep. To take a rest, does it really matter? We dare not sleep spiritually because you don't know when it's going to happen. Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. His appearance will be unexpected. It'll be as a thief. And you don't know when that thief is going to come to your house, if he's coming to take something, because he don't want you to know. Because if you knew when he was going to be there, as the scripture says, you would have done something about it. In our spiritual life, as we have the upward watch, we need to be prepared at any moment. We know not when he's coming, but we need to be prepared and ready. I'd like to read 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 8, 6 through 8 yet again. And think about Paul as he has this upward look and he encourages Timothy to make full proof of your ministry. Do everything you can. Pick your battles, fight them, be victorious. And you can't always pick all your battles in the spiritual battle. But be victorious in them anyhow. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul's saying, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've lived my life, Paul says. Verse 7. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. What assurance. What assurance. Verse 8 goes on with the assurance. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul fought a good fight. He's saying he picked up the spiritual battle and he spent his life in a battle against Satan, against the lion, against the angel of light. The devil can transform himself into. As that thief, he's battled against that. Against that patient one. That fisherman there with the net. Paul had picked up the spiritual battle and he spent his life in that battle against Satan and against wrong. And he'd fought and won his battle. If he hadn't won, he would not have been able to speak with such confidence. And so the challenge that I have for myself and for you, as we think about this upward look, are we ready for eternity somewhere? Are we ready to go to heaven? Can we say with Paul that I'm living life, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith? Is my life speaking that out to those about me? Is my inner life that's inside of me, is it showing that? Am I watching in all things as I've been called to in the scripture? May God help us to be those that as we think about today, and if the Lord tarries through the revival services this week, to be willing to open up and look Is there something that in my watchfulness I've missed and I need to improve on? To get more inspired to serve God and to have a burden for the lost about us. May God help us to evaluate that and to prepare our hearts and minds for the coming days. Because Brother Owen, I'm sure, is going to put a lot of work into the messages. And it's not that reason, but as I've sat on the bench already and listened to speakers, the more I get out of it is because I prepare my heart. And I'm ready to listen. And I wish that for each and every one of us through this week. Let's kneel for prayer.